Hebrews 10 from verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having a heart sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And from Hebrews 4. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to emphasize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need.
Let me introduce myself. My name's Dave McDonald. I'm also one of the pastors here at this church. We're now experiencing something in this particular building for the first time. The heating must have just come on. I don't think that the teachers of the school have had that experience before they spoke to us, because it's not silent. We thought it would be silent, but it will be warm, I'm sure. Let me tell you a little bit about myself. Some of you will be bored by this because you know who I am already, but if you're visiting us for the first time, I've been around Canberra for quite a while. I did my high school in Canberra, came back having left Canberra to go to university with a wife, and my wife Fiona and I have had four kids since we've been here in Canberra. We've now got two grandkids who are living here in Canberra as well. This is home for us. We're not that familiar with this particular region of Canberra, but then who is? It's only been here for a little while, and so it's very exciting to be connecting into a new community. And our hope is that as a church, we'll be building relationships, that we'll be making connections. Because one of the sad realities of life is that we become increasingly disconnected with those around about us. There was a great promise, wasn't there, that with the rise of technology, we would become more connected with each other. We use that phrase, we're part of a global community. And yet I think at the end of the day, the community bit is, well, it's kind of rhetoric, isn't it? How much are we really community in a global sense? Yes, it's true that our grandparents, if they were on other sides of the world, used to have to send a letter that would go by boat, and the replies that you'd get might be kind of 3 or 4 months late, and now you can send an email or you can Skype straight away. But I wonder whether we are really still quite disconnected, even though things are immediate. Social researchers have been talking about this, the fact that you can have 1,500 Facebook friends and yet nobody that you'd really feel like you could just drop in on at a moment's notice. You can have all of these connections on the internet, but nobody that you feel comfortable to bear your soul to. And I wonder whether that disconnection is actually causing a whole range of issues and problems for us. Sadly, the reports are that in Australia, 1 in 5 people struggle with some aspect of depression or anxiety. And I think this is often a symptom of loneliness, a symptom of disconnection with other people. It's interesting, we've just spent a couple of days down in Melbourne, so we've had that wonderful experience of being in a busy city in the CBD, travelling on trams, which were great fun. I got a couple of trains out into the suburbs and so on. There's people everywhere, especially around peak hour, but there seemed to be very little connection between people. I was sitting on the train and I looked the whole way in front of me, and every person I could see had headphones on. They were all in their own little world, even though they were packed into this carriage with each other. I've sampled, as some of you will know, many of the coffees around the CBD, and I can help you out later if you're going to be there. But one of the things that we notice when we look at cafes and people getting together, supposedly in community, is that you can be sitting opposite somebody who presumably is quite special to you, but you're there on your phone and you're not actually connecting. And I wonder whether this disconnection is a problem that we can do something about. Neighbourhoods are places that used to connect people to each other, but so often they've become dormitories, haven't they? I remember the first suburb that we moved into in Canberra. We lived there for 3 years, barely getting to know anybody in our street. We would see people come and go. You'd have that polite wave to them, but you just hoped that you didn't have to have a conversation because you'd never actually learnt their name. And we moved after about 3 years, and we moved quite determined to change things when we moved. And so we came into a new street where there were other people, and we decided that we would host our own housewarming party. And so we leafleted our street, and it was extraordinary. People coming out from the houses, gathering at our place, everybody bringing a bottle of champagne or a plate of food, thanking us that at last they are getting to meet their neighbours. Some of them saying, we've been here for years, but we don't know the people beside us, the people around us. And just making that little connection seemed to make the world of difference. Now, we are disconnected in so many ways with one another, but I want to suggest that there's actually a deeper disconnection that is even more significant, and that is so many of us feel disconnected from God. As we talk with people, we keep hearing of those who feel that God is remote, that God is disinterested, that God is detached and not somebody that you could have a relationship with, not somebody you could actually get to know. Some of us are in this church, and you'd be more than welcome, are actually going to start reading a book called Knowing God. The idea is that you can have a relationship with the God who is, not just that you can know about him, but how can you get that connection? Many of us recognise at times in our life a kind of hollow feeling, that there's something missing, that there's something that should be in our hearts, in our lives, part of our consciousness, part of our emotions and our feelings, that's not there, and I think it's right that we would feel that way. Because when you look at what the Bible says about God and God in this world and the way that God has made us, we discover very early that we've been made for connection. That God actually made us to have relationships. That God made us to have a relationship with him. Indeed, in the opening two pages of the Bible, you see that God and the people that he'd made are in good relationship harmony with each other. Things are going well. That we've been made not only for relationship with God, but for relationships with other people. There's, you know, man's best friend shouldn't have to be his dog. We've actually been made for relationships with other beings, with other human beings. Each other made in the image of God to connect and communicate and encourage and support and be involved with each other. That's what God intended. It's okay to have a good relationship with your dog as well. But the trouble is, when you get to page 3 of the Bible, you see that things have gone wrong. It doesn't take too long to discover that our tendency is to push God away. That we want space where God is not intruding. That we want to do things on our own terms. That there's a certain kind of self-determination that we'd prefer to a relationship with God. And so now we feel that hollowness, I take it. Now, when you look at the Bible, when you go back to the early parts of the Bible, what we call the Old Testament, when you look at the history of the people of Israel and how God connected with them or didn't connect with them, there is a very visible picture of disconnection. And I want to tell you about it. See, among the people of Israel, there was a special place where it was said that God dwelt amongst the people. And that place was called the temple. In fact, if you go to Jerusalem, you can go to a wall that they call the Wailing Wall. And that wall is a remnant of this temple. Not the original temple, not even the second temple, but the third temple. It's a remnant of this place where God was to meet with his people. And in the heart of that temple, there was a special kind of area that was called the Most Holy Place. And that was the place where God was specially dwelling. And if he wanted to access that Most Holy Place, there was an elaborate system of things that had to happen. In fact, if you wanted to access the Most Holy Place, you couldn't. You couldn't. Only one person could do that, and only once a year. And that was the high priest of Israel. And there was separation from the Most Holy Place to where the rest of the people were by a large curtain. Now, look behind me and you'll see a large curtain. This is not the Most Holy Place, right? There's a stage behind here. But just humour me for a minute. Imagine that here we are in the temple and there is the Most Holy Place behind there. Thing is, you and I couldn't go in there. We wouldn't get access. That curtain would remind us of something very profound, very significant, something that would affect us in every moment of every day, and that is we are disconnected from God. Now, sure, God didn't dwell completely behind a curtain, but that symbol of the Most Holy Place where God dwelt and the curtain that separated God from the rest of the people was a reminder that we were disconnected from God. So how could we get connection? Well, you can go right through the Old Testament, all the way up to the book of Malachi, before you reach the New Testament, and there is no way that you can get behind that curtain. It doesn't matter what happens. You can get priests, you can have sacrifices, you can bring animals where your hands are laid symbolically upon the lamb or the bull or a goat or something, and your sin is symbolically taken away, but you can never get behind that curtain. Only the high priest could do that, and he could only do it once a year. He couldn't dwell forever in the presence of God, so to speak. So is it possible to really reconnect with God? Well, we go into the New Testament. We meet Jesus. We're told that Jesus is God come amongst us, that he lived in relationship with God, a perfect relationship with God. And then we discover that on Good Friday, he's nailed up on a piece of wood and he's executed. And as you read the accounts of the execution of Jesus, something significant happens. The temple curtain splits in two from top to bottom. Now, I was thinking it'd be pretty spectacular if I could have pulled that off this morning. I'm not from bottom to top. I could do that, right? I could just go rip. But from top to bottom, if I could just pull that out at this time, but we'd get into trouble with the school. And the fact is the curtain that separated God from the people was split, and it was split at the time of the death of Jesus. And it's not an accident that it happened at that time, because what's happening symbolically is indeed happening in reality. As the barrier that had kept the people separate from God for centuries and centuries and centuries is broken, so the body of Jesus is broken. So he dies as a sacrifice. So he takes the punishment that we deserve for our rejection of God so that we can enter into the presence of God. So come with me now to this little extract from the Bible that's printed inside your handouts. And you'll see that there's a summary of this action taking place. See, it says under Hebrews, and the first number is the chapter, chapter 10, and then the verse numbers after, verses 19 to 25. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God. See, he's writing to Jewish people who think in terms of all that background of the temple. And what he's saying, he's summarizing that we now have access into the very presence of God because of the death of Jesus, that is Jesus' body. So what he's doing is he's laying a foundation for reconnection with God. He's saying, since we can now do what we've never been able to do before, and that is come into the very presence of God, he's saying that this is now possible. And since it is possible, look at what we should do. The structure of this passage is really very simple. It says, since we've got this and since we've got this, let us do this and let us do this and let us do this. Look at verse 22, the first response. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. See, we're now given access into the very presence of God. The issue, previously disconnected, no opportunity for access. Now, God has taken the initiative to reconnect. The curtain, if you like, has symbolically been split open because of Jesus, so that now we can enter into God's presence. It's possible. And it's made possible because Jesus died for us. Therefore, do it, is what he's saying. Therefore, enter in. Therefore, draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance that faith brings. As you put your trust in Jesus, so you can have access into the very presence of God. Now, let me illustrate this in a much more trivial and, for some of you, completely irrelevant way. I can get access into a place in Canberra that I think there's nobody else in this room that can get access, because I have an access pass. It is a triple A pass to be able to go into the change room on game day of the Brumbies. You say, whoop, whoop. I don't want to move into a room where there's smelly, sweaty blokes. And no, you probably don't. But having been given that pass, and there's a reason, by the way, I'm the chaplain to the Brumbies. Having been given that pass, it makes sense now, doesn't it, for me to enter in, to actually continue and pursue that relationship that's made possible. To be able to talk with them, to spend time with them, to commiserate with them, to celebrate with them, to do whatever. Friends, we have a triple A pass into the very presence of God. It's called the death and the resurrection of Jesus. So let's enter in. And that's the way that we can reconnect with God. It's not our initiative either, is it? It's something that God has made possible for us. Through the death of Jesus. That's why Good Friday is so very, 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 very good. Because now we can reconnect with our God. Not only can we reconnect with God, but we have something wonderful that we look forward to. Look at verse 23. Looking ahead, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let us hold on to this hope. Let us look ahead in anticipation. You know what hope means? Hope means looking forward to a better future. Now, if there is no reason to look forward to a better future, then it's not really hope. It's wishful thinking. But if there is a good reason to look forward to a better future, then it is genuine, substantial, grounded, solid hope. And what we're being told is that God has made it possible for us not only to relate to him now, but to have a relationship with him for all eternity. Not wishful thinking, but a faithful God who's promised. I don't know whether you think about this terribly much. I do, to be honest. And it's something that has pretty much shaped my life over the last 4.5 years. And that is, do you think about the fact that every day you get up is one day less of your life? Or, to put it in more positive terms, every morning that you rise out of bed, you are one day closer to the end of your life. That is, time is ticking. We're not going to live forever. We live as though we're going to live forever. We plan as though we're going to live forever. We cruise control as though we're going to live forever. But we're not. Why has that changed for me after the last 4.5 years? Well, if you have never met me, I was diagnosed with terminal cancer on the 2nd of December in 2011. And it might seem that then my life had changed, but it hadn't. I was always terminal. We all are. Do you know what the life... No, I won't ask you that question. I want to ask you whether you have confronted your own mortality. One of the things that the Bible teaches us that I think many of us have experienced for real is that you learn a lot more by going to a funeral than you do by going to a party. Many of us were at a memorial service Saturday before, and at that memorial service we're reminded that life is finite, that our days are numbered, that we won't go on forever, and that's a helpful thing to remember. It's always been true, by the way. Me getting a terminal diagnosis, well, it probably just said you're likely to live less time than you previously thought. That's all. Life has always been numbered, and we can look forward against the backdrop here of knowing that our days are numbered in hope. How can we look forward in hope? Well, on the basis that God has given access into his presence for all eternity. So let us take up that access. Let us push forward in hope, in anticipation, remembering our days. Friends, time to reconnect with God because God has taken the initiative. But I want us to look around as well, because God has made us not only for relationship with him, but for relationship with each other. And if we are feeling disconnected with those around about us, there is hope, real hope. Because God has made us for this relationship with one another. And in the light of what Jesus has done to connect us to God, so we are called to connect to those around us. Look at verse 24 and following. Verse 24 of the top paragraph, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let's not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. It is a great privilege to be able to meet with others who have reconnected with God. I don't know what you think about what church is. I'm sure that if we were to take a video camera out into the suburb, if we were to hang around Cullman Court, interviewing people about what they think church is, we would get a whole range of answers, most of which could be summarised as irrelevant. Right? I think that's what people basically think. It doesn't matter what church is. To me, it's irrelevant. It doesn't have any significance. It doesn't have any importance. May have once. It's now outdated. We don't need it anymore. Why would we annoy one another? Why would we interrupt our Sundays by connecting with other people at church? Well, some very good reasons, friend, because church is not simply a club. Church is not a common interest for people who are a little antiquated, a little irrelevant, a little lost in the past. No, church is about connecting into a life that is real. It's about recognising that we have been made in the image of God to connect with God and to connect with each other. And so we're encouraged here to meet together, to gather with one another, to remind each other of what God has done for us, to spur each other on in the way that we live, to encourage each other to make a difference in life. One of my favourite parts of the Old Testament has become Psalm 90, which says, God, teach us to remember our days that we might have wisdom in our hearts. You sit in front of the television day after day, night after night, and you will gain no wisdom. You'll kind of be blinded into this view that life is about trivia and nonsense and entertainment. And you're just going to go on and on and on. But you get together with a group of people where you're reminded that we are born and that we will die. That there is a God and there is a possibility of relationship with God. And that God has done everything that we need to be able to reconnect with him through Jesus. Wouldn't you want to be reminded of that reality daily, weekly, as often as you can? Church is not intended to be a holy huddle. Church is intended to be a kind of connection between people who want to spur each other on to live lives of value and truth and meaning and purpose. That's what it's about. I connect with a group of people around Australia and to some sense, but not as much around the world. People that Certainly, I've not met any of those around the world, but I've met some of those in Australia, and we've probably only seen each other about once or twice in a year. I caught up with one of those people while I was down in Melbourne last week, and we had a very short time together, but I tell you, that time was very important. That time was very intense because of what we shared in common. What do we share in common? Well, we've both got the same cancer. And in his case, having thought that everything was going so well, he's an ocean swimmer and swims about 10 kilometres every week. One of the fittest people that I know. And yet he has this cancer. And he went for a routine scan a fortnight ago, and the radiologist said, I can see 10 tumours in your brain. Family knows probably Australia's leading brain surgeon. He looked at the scans and said, no, not 10, 20. We connect together in a very profound way. Let me tell you about another group of people who connect together. I think that they still do it. When I read the article in the paper about them, they met annually. They were bonded together in an extraordinary way. You see, a number of years ago, there was a 747 that was travelling from Indonesia to Australia. It got caught in volcanic ash. And that plane, the engine shut down, and the 747 plummeted out of the sky for 12 minutes. And everyone on the plane thought that they were going to die. You can read the accounts. Google it. Mount Galangalung was the volcano. But when it got down into lower and clearer air, something happened and the engines refired. And they were able to land that 747. And so every person on that plane that was able to would meet annually as part of what they came to call the Galangalung Gliding Club. Not many people have been gliding in a 747. And what bonded those people together was they had faced death in the face, and they had survived. They were saved people. And that bonded them together. And friends, that's what church is about, ultimately. Church is about saved people that want to get together. Church is about people that know the curtain has been destroyed and we can enter into the very presence of God. Church is about people who know that their days are numbered and they want to make their lives count. Church is about people who know the wonderful grace of God, that though we deserve nothing, we've been offered everything. That's why we meet. This morning, I want to encourage you to think about reconnecting. Imagine that some of you are thinking about where you live and the delight of getting to know your neighbours. It's great fun, isn't it, to have those Christmas parties out on the front lawn, to have a street get-together, to do things with those that live close to you, to actually come out into the community. It was wonderful last year when we put on the carols in the park just 100 metres up that way, that people just kind of came out of their houses to meet one another and to sing together and to celebrate together. Well, friends, it is a good time to connect. But let me say, it's a very good time to reconnect with God. And if you know in your own hearts that that's something you need to do, don't put it off. Don't put it off. Perhaps it's not something that you're ready to do. Maybe like that woman on the video who said, I'm not a Christian, but I want to keep checking these things out. Maybe that's where you're at. And if you are, why not? We'd love to help you do that. We'd love to invite you along to perhaps meet in somebody's home over some food. And talk about what all this means. If you're not ready to do that, we'd love to give you something to read, something to explore, or just have a coffee and chat. But it is a good time to reconnect. And the most important person to reconnect with is God. If you are connected with God, then don't waste the opportunity to connect with those who are also connected with God, to spur one another on. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Let me pray. Father, I thank you that you are a God who reaches out, that you have broken down that curtain, that you've given access into your presence. We thank you that we can come to you because of Jesus, that you know what we're like, you know our struggles, you know the things that make us sad, the things that make us joyful. You know what's going on in our lives, you know what's going on in our minds and deep within our hearts. We thank you for your generous grace that Jesus was poured out for us, that he died for us, that because Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead, that we can now have a genuine, substantial, grounded hope for being connected to you, not just for this life, but for eternity. Please help us to explore this. And if we know this to be true, please help us to trust this. And so to reconnect not only with you, but with each other. We ask that as a church here, we won't go through the motions, that we won't put on pretense, that we'll be real in the way that we talk and the way that we live, that our lives will match our beliefs, that we'll see it as valuable to spend time with one another, and that we'll be so keen to share the good news of what God has done in reaching out to us through Jesus with those around us. And we pray these things this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen.